explaining the ways in which students were mobilized.
So, like, first is, like, which we generally do initiate is a room-to-room campaign in all the hostels. Hmm. And in those campaigns, we basically carry a slip indicating the protest form, whether it's a protest demonstration or a human chain or a gathering, things like that. Second is a mess-to-mess campaign. So during lunch or dinner time, a group of students would come, maybe represented by the union, and they would explain to the student community as to what the plan of action is. Apart from that, there is also a dhawa round, which in the evening time during like 4:30 to say 7, again student activists, students who are being affected by it, they're all participating in distributing slips and informing student community as to what the issues are. Class campaigns again, so addressing students in the classes and explaining them the same thing again. Apart from that, I think social media has played a major role in these movements post 2012, that is Stand With JNU movement. So Facebook was channelized, mobilized, and also WhatsApp groups. So there were class groups which were informed through messages and everything of the plan of action. So these were different modes that the student activists and participants in that period actually mobilized.
What about social media?
Definitely, Facebook making events and spreading information through like statuses, I think that was one of the major ways of doing it, apart from sticking up posters on the walls of, say, hostels and school area.
Was anybody in charge of like the social media campaign, or were organizations doing it on their own?
I think unlike Stand With JNU movement, where there were teams to do it, like JNU Voice or Stand With JNU itself, I don't think so, or I can't recollect any of such particular group which was doing it. But I think every organization had their own smaller teams managing and mobilizing social media campaigns.
Was there any coverage by the mainstream media?
Initially, I would say print media sometimes, but no television otherwise had covered this issue in a big way, apart from, I think, Ravish Kumar's show once.
Let's come to the like repercussions, like what happened afterwards. Like, were any of the demands met by the university administration?
No, not really. Actually, we had to go to High Court to pursue it. And the fallout was that some students went on to the policy, like to the strategy of lockdown of the administrative block. Yeah. So I think that time a lot of tussle, conflict was in between students, which kind of created a divide, which also somewhere weakened our position in terms of bargaining from the administration. So as such, nothing concrete came out of the administration, but we can say that in the court we had some kind of a say when we went and argued on the part of an unfair seat cut.
Did something come out of that case?
The court, the JNU council had to answer as to did they take any action against keeping in mind the demands of the students. And as we know, like, JNU administration is right now on a different trajectory altogether. So they have all kinds of lies and stuff. So they said that they had formed a committee. They said that they are also looking at it. They're not implementing it that year. But as we all know that 2017, there was no admission in JNU in the research field. So as such, the case is still pending. It's still going on. Okay. But I don't think so. Okay. Final hearing has been done for it.
Do you think the movement found any resonance in like other campuses?
We did get solidarities from different universities and students, and I think that was also the time when a lot of student movements was growing up in different universities. So for example, TIS was having some kind of a movement in regard to this, then RGS Cash was also taken. So there were different points and moments that other universities could link up and could find resonance with our issues. Hmm. So there were students coming in and showing solidarities, but I don't know if they were apart from Bengal, as far as I remember, there were any as such organized protest against this kind of a move by the JNU administration.
This is a slightly disconnected question, but what has been the reaction of your family to you being an activist?
Not very kind initially, but I think again 2012 was a big shutdown for all of us. In one sense that families also realize that things are beyond their control in terms of individuals also. So my family also was not
very... What happened in 2012?
So basically during 9th February, there were instances where there was a video circulated of me shaking hands with Umar, who was considered to be the prime accused of that event, which later on...
That's 2016.
Oh, so yeah, sorry, stand with JNU. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, sorry, yeah. my mistake. So, but basically, after that, that news basically became a big thing for my family, and a lot of family tussles happened. But post that, things have been sorted and more settled, yeah. And now they don't have much issues in terms of me being an activist.
Did you ever feel targeted on a personal level by the university administration or by other? Bodies also, like, say, I don't know, other students, teachers, online trolls, police.
See, being a student and being a JNU activist is never easy. Yeah. I don't know about other university campuses, and I'm sure they might be going through the same. Yeah. But if you are a JNU activist, generally, if you organize any kind of event and the administration is not very favorable towards you, yeah. you will keep having inquiries on you.
Yeah.
So, for example, we had Muzaffarnagar Baki Hai, so there was an inquiry. There was a roadblock of the admin block, there was an inquiry. So, these are also ways of, like, telling us that, you know, there are repercussions of participating in protest. Student activists and other organizations, see, I think that is also part and parcel of being an activist, because these are also, because all these organizations have differences in their ideologies, in their way of functioning. So, things do come up. Sometimes personal, sometimes organizational, but I think it's to be taken up in a good way, and generally to be taken up along and rectify yourselves rather than feeling like bogged down by those.
Have you been trolled online for your political stuff?
Facebook sometime, but I have a very bad habit of not interacting too much on social media. So I prefer a one-to-one face talk. So generally, no. Like.
So coming back to this particular movement, what would you say have been some of the weaknesses of this movement, and what would you or your organization, or you would want JNUSU, like, would you want something to have happened differently?
See, I think there are 2-3 things that we learned from each movement, and yeah. this movement basically told us that we were in some kind of an illusion that we are not being attacked by an ideology, but by a few handful of administrative people. But I think these movements taught us that this is not the case. We are facing a much bigger attack from outside rather than just being on campus. So whether it was 2016 Stand With JNU movement, whether it was seat cut, now attendance, removal of GS cash, these are all parts of making JNU non-functional. So I would say that there were weaknesses in terms of us getting people on board in the part of making strategies and in mobilizing. So sometimes there were dips, sometimes there were ups in the movement, which also happens. But JNU lagged in the seat cut movement after a point. We did not have a good mobilization in the coming days in those times, and which could basically not take the issue forward,
right.
And which is why we had to go to court very early. I think we could have waited for a little longer, but as I said, realizing that the fight is not with the administration just, but it's an ideology that we are fighting outside the right wing. So I think there is much lesser scope of students doing something and getting results out. So yeah, I would say weakness is definitely in terms of leadership. Yeah. Since Lingdo, I think JNU is suffering a vacuum of good leaders, trained leaders in that sense.
Just explain Lingdo in like.
So basically, there was a Lingdo committee which was formed to analyze and observe elections, student elections in different universities, and it came up with very regressive recommendations when it comes to JNU. And which is why we cannot contest for more than once in, say, central panel, and which is where the experience is lacking. So there are newer faces each time. And also by the end of the tenure, there is a feeling of why to do anything because I'm not going to continue. So something like this is what I think is hampering JNU. And also sinking in the ideologies of different kinds. I think that is a major problem in JNU. Like, for example, BAPSA was a very newer formation then. But to interact, to engage, to kind of settle with their propositions and all. I think that JNU was lacking in at that particular point because of its left, it's called hegemony. But I would say somewhere we were lacking in that. we could have had a much more this thing.
So no. BAPSA is an Ambedkarite
organization. Yeah, it's an Ambedkarite organization on campus. Well, not to say that there is a different kind of approach from their side as well, but I would still say that being a left campus for so many years, the first step should have been from the left organizations on campus.
What is happening on your campus right now, these sort of issues that are coming up, like the UGC Gazette and the protests that are happening against it, do you think similar things are happening in other campuses at this time?
Yes, definitely. For example, recently when the attendance issue happened, there were simultaneous movements going on in Assam University. There has been a movement in FTII, there was a movement in TIS, Aligarh, we recently saw what kind of an attack was there, BHU. HCU. So there is basically all universities, or maybe we can say the education system or higher education system is under attack under this government, which is just not letting students breathe. And especially all those campuses which have a vibrant student political movement or some kind of an activism going on, they are basically and very sharply targeted, because they are becoming the opposition right now in this country, and nobody is liking people to have an opinion or a criticism of the government. So I would definitely say that there is... there are ways and there are pressures from the government, and they're trying to scuttle it, but I must give it to students that they're still holding on. So each time a newer university or different universities targeted, people hold on together and they keep extending solidarity, which I think is very important in today's time. Standing alone is very difficult in these hard times.
Again, coming back to this specific movement, do you think something changed for you at a personal level having participated in this movement from beginning to end? You've been an activist on this campus since this also.
Yeah, so, since 2009.
Yeah. So do you think something changed? Do you think you learned something new?
Yeah, I think the image of JNU for me changed a lot. Okay, like how? in my time in the sense from 2009 to say before 2016, there was some kind of a space, also because social media was not very proactively used then. So there was some kind of a space for people to come and interact with each other, even if from different parties, organizations or different ideologies. But somewhere I felt that during this movement and post is there was a creation of a binary. So either you are with us or against us. This was not JNU earlier. Yeah. So this used to happen only when we were fighting administration or when we were fighting, say, outside some political outfit. But this started seeping in JNU. So I would say that was a change which kind of also made me withdraw a little, take a back seat in terms of my activism after this movement. So this was a learning experience to listen more and maybe say less. Because people are, and I'll give it to the newer ones because they have a lot to speak.
Yeah.
So as an older activist, I think the time was to listen more from them.
You said your PhD is going to finish soon. Tell me a little bit about your future career plans or your future plans in general.
I have actually not much thought of my future plans, because I don't think so. The jobs are easily available in this country, though I don't plan to work in that sense. But yeah, I plan to continue with my activism on women's issue even outside. I have been doing small field works and some kind of helping around with women's organization in Ajmer itself. So I plan right now for some short time to be in the field itself, because I think it has much more to tell us than just being in a... not to be a judgment on this, but to be in an office and to just be in your own cocoon, I think I'll prefer to be in the field and learn more from the people who are at stake, and not maybe for some time at least.
Thank you, Soren. Good luck with your plans.